Nicholas, when there is a sway. Don't forget a single word that we're going to say. If you slide down our chimney on this Christmas Eve, you will surely get the best lunch of your sleep.
I don't know if you heard it, Santa. What we said was,
Jolly Little Nicholas, when you're in this way. Don't forget a single word that we're going to say.
Ho, ho, ho.
If you slip down our chimney on this Christmas Eve, you will definitely get some ashes up your sleeve.
Hey, why so sad?
Oh, nothing really.
Not very convincing, Jane girl. Whatever it is, I've got just the cure for it.
1, 2, 3!
Did you know CITR has a women's collective? This brand new collective is all about providing and fostering a community for women who are or who want to be in radio, fighting the gender disparity in media, and centering women's voices and issues. If you are a female-identified person or ally who's already involved in radio or wants somewhere to start, this collective is for you. Email womenscollective@citr.ca for more information and to get involved.
And tune in Friday at 6 p.m. for the collective show, Lady Radio, featuring music, interviews, events, news, commentary, basically anything we care to talk about.
See you then.
Well, how do you like it? There's only one word for it.
This is Jesse Laborde, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM.
Thank you.
everyone. Hey, hello. Yeah, you're listening to Star Wars. That is just in a loop over and over again. We roll that for each iteration of the war. Seven in total now. So you're in the seventh loop of the Star War. How do you feel about that, Alex?
I feel great about that. How do you feel about that?
So I'm coming in late today. I'm just on the bus right now, and it's pretty drenched outside. I thought Star Wars was appropriate because that's what's on everyone's mind right now, but also because with the new iteration of Star Wars, this was a chance, you know, and what it is in and of itself, this sort of nostalgic project to reinvent the past, sort of this time travel project where we save ourselves from the mistakes of the, the prequel trilogy, as so people believe anyway, because things like that need to be redeemed. So is this going to be a redemptive episode where I kind of look back at 2015 and kind of go through my favorites and really make a coherent narrative out of it, even though it's just like a completely arbitrary set of days?
Well, perfect. I, for one, am excited to see how you redeem, cue it up for all of our listeners. And
If I do half as good of a job as Star Wars, then it will be a really meager episode, not worth revisiting at all.
Okay. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, cue it up. And Jonathan Q will be here in person shortly.
Thank you, Alex.
No problem, John.
Listening to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC.
Think big, girl, like a king. Think king size. Did you learn nothing in America? I've placed four big bananas in my lap. In New York, I don't dream. I always always wanted to be less subculturally lonely. But here, I see no subculture. No future. No big science. No big bananas. But I found no future. I rock the bananas gently. Move back and forth. Don't wake them. What is soft, thick rock? Using the elements of thick to create a softer, toned down sound. I sing to the bananas. The skin is getting thin and brown. Norway. The girls are pretty. I am 1/4 Danish. If you have a child, you better learn how to bake. I beckon the cupcake, the huge capitalist clit. I search the oven, scrub the racks, put my whole head inside, but I just can't find it. It's like looking out the window in there. The bananas rot slowly in my lap, silently, wildly. A rash is an opportunity, a common disease, something in common, a community. The definition must be something attacking itself. Four flaking, flaccid fingers. No future. Oh, the fruit.
A flower?
Alex, do you know what we're listening to right now?
Yeah, we're listening to Au Revoir by Bruno.
Is that your French accent?
No, my French accent is
Au Revoir par
Bruno Raspberry. What's your French accent?
So, so you're listening to it right now. This is all naturel. French accent. It's just so yeah. I didn't get very much sleep last night. I didn't get to bed until around 7 or so. I heard you had some difficulty yourself.
Yeah, no, I had a hard time sleeping. It had nothing to do with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's yeah. Just recently, you know, I've been doing some writing and have some amnesia, and you know, the holidays are always kind of a weird period for me. But you know, I found the perfect thing in terms of putting me to sleep, actually. It's really just totally ideal. And I'm going to give you a taste of it right now. Okay, but so Alex, you've been in London for this past season. Alex used to be our production coordinator at the station. So you know, the purpose of the show isn't typically to sort of explore these interstation details, but I used to be the production coordinator. I was the one that preceded Alex, and Alex took it on as a full time position during the summer. And those are the people. And currently, it's being fulfilled by a woman named Danielle. A student here, but these are the people who produce all of the ads that you hear on the air. So it's always quite interesting to get their sort of insight into the production process and like what makes CITR sound like CITR. And you know, and I thought that while you were in, that would be a nice thing to kind of talk about briefly for anyone, because you know, I don't think I have a very large follower base at all, by no means. But you know, people might be tuning in arbitrarily on today, and they'll hear something that's actually, for once, interesting. So, Alex, please, the production. What is it? How do you do it?
Oh, that's a good question. How do we do the production? How do we make the things that we're given by whoever decides to advertise on the station into things that you would want to hear on CITR? You, the listener, would want to hear. It's a good question, and to be honest, I did it for 4 months, and I'm still not sure how I did it. But it does involve taking things and turning them into strange other versions of what they once were. And I think it all starts...
So there's a bit of collage work there, you know?
Yeah. And I think it all starts with getting a kind of friendly atmosphere and having people, you know, talk about their ideas out loud, making sure that people know that nothing is a bad idea, right?
This is the cantina theme.
No, I know, I know.
A hive of scum and villainy.
Just like CITR. I've never heard that. Is that a keyboard riff? I've never heard
is
that.
Is it? Well, I don't think they get past the first 4 seconds in the actual film.
Probably for good reason.
Yeah. You're seeing this particular... I thought it was an interesting metaphor, actually, Star Wars, because... And, you know, I hate to be... Actually, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to spoil this for anyone. But there's a lot of reiterative themes in the movie, and the script itself is very much like a revision of what has come before, and it is sort of an interesting metaphor. Now that we've come to the end of the year, looking back, how do we compile together these disparate parts into something that is a conclusion, but also a new beginning? Alex.
How do we make money off of the show?
Well, you know, if anyone's listening now, is hooked into the merchandising side of this, for an hour a week you could be having
one of
the most sonorous voices in Vancouver advertising your product.
I want a bobblehead of you. That's what I want. I want to put it in my car.
What are those little things with the big heads now that everyone's buying? And there's like one for every
franchise. Dolls.
This is like $15 a pop because the Canadian currency is so weak. Thanks, oil-based currency, for denying us the ability to purchase endless amounts of frivolous, non-interactable dolls that are meant to be kept in their original boxes.
And have big heads. The big heads is crucial. I think.
Yes, it's the style. It's what is the Japanese word for this?
I don't know, but it's how they cast the new Star Wars, actually. They picked actors who only had large heads.
Well, no, that's just a typical, during my Kevin Smith phase. Sorry, this is getting extremely tangential, and neither of us are as interesting as we would, you know, ostensibly ought to be to command this much time on air. But back when I was very much into Kevin Smith, he did talk about briefly how Ben Affleck's face and head is quite large, and it seems as if actors, actresses are often cast for having large heads because, you know, you can play with angles, you can do whatever, but to have a big, prominent face and head is often useful in the films and in life as well.
That's what they told me when I tried to become an actor. They said, your face isn't big enough.
Yep. So, only things that have happened on today's episode of Cue It Up, everything you're listening to, only the things which have happened are now being broadcast to you. Okay, so we are going to play some music that I really enjoyed this year. This is a artist from Gary, Indiana, which has been getting year-round a lot of publicity, a lot of press, a lot of critical acclaim from various experimental circles, but sort of has become a rallying point for many journalists to sort of push as the album of the year. You know, those who veer away from, slightly marginal left-of-center consensus, but are, you know, themselves sort of forming a consensus around this album. And it's sort of an experimental footwork album. Less propulsive, more, let's say, well, there's really interesting use of collage. There's really interesting use of sampling. The timbre of the music is a lot sharper. One might even say clinical, colder. And it's just, I absolutely love it. It's Jilin. The album is, what is the album called? Dark Energy, yeah, that's what it's called. And we're going to listen to Black Diamond. And then after that, we're probably going to listen to, I don't know, a 10Trix track or something. Because, you know, we really ought to give the bearded white man his due. It's about time. I'm talking about you, Alex.
Yep.
How's the beard doing?
It's doing not well. Oh. It's not white yet. That's the main problem.
Oh, well, I'm... Okay, well, we'll be right back.
cause you can't sleep. Cause his bass quaking in the trunk of a white Jeep. Just the creeps. Nighttime devils, extra mellow. And they got white rocks the size of marshmallows. It's just a sweet freak day. She is a he, walking in the streets, in the cold, looking for a home. Like a bleached blonde street freak. Westside businessman, yeah, he pulled up in the brand new Benz. Flash on Benjamins, yeah, he's looking for a friend. He wants a street freak. What makes these creeps tick?
Vancouver-based soul and garage group The Ballantines just released their debut album, Dark Drives Life Signs, on La-Di-Da Records. This album has influences of soul and classic R&B and features a range of songs from storming dance numbers to moody ballads. It's hip-shaking, organ-wailing trouble you'll want to get into. Check out The Ballantines' second single, My Place, Your Town, and look out for the official video coming soon.
For over 30 years, there has been one voice in the local Vancouver art scene that has stood above the rest, and that's Discorder, that conspiracy, punk rock, foxcore, sassy, still publishing magazine from CITR. We're one of the established and trusted voices of Vancouver's music and arts culture in the Lower Mainland, with 8,000 copies distributed monthly to over 135 distribution locations, from the Lido to Zulu Records.
Discorder is one of a few magazines published by a community radio station, and we only serve up the freshest local and Canadian goods.
We have interviews with artists, album reviews, live show reviews, and articles about everything important to our crazy, unique, varied, and amazing culture in Vancouver and across the country.
Pick up your free copy of Discorder today, or sign up to have it delivered to your door wherever you are.
Check out our website for distribution locations and all the information about advertising and getting involved.
Right, we're back. We're talking about these wars up there in space. Hey, so yeah, you're listening to Cue It Up on CITR 101.9 FM, and we are broadcasting live from UBC Vancouver on the unceded traditional land of the Coast Salish, Musqueam, Tungkamunam speaking people. And we're joined in the studio right now by a couple of
get those nerds!
Oh, gosh.
Nerds!
This is my favorite film clip of all time. I'm just going to play it one more time.
Get those nerds!
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 It's my favorite film clip of all time.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, it's quite pertinent because here at Cue It Up, you know, I play a lot of music, which is maybe more fixed less on the idea of, you know, maybe you can view, if you want to dichotomize art in two senses, there's the art as revision, as editing, you know, arts like writing, things like that, which are very much about writing and rewriting. And then there's art which is more ritual, I would say, you know, just the process, you just put it out there. And a lot of music falls into the category. A lot of the music that I put out there through the radio falls into that category. And it's always kind of odd because it's like, you know, I don't really have that kind of show where I'm mixing live. It's not really what I wanted to do with it. And it is a bit odd because I'm presenting these things as if they were just like art objects for you to enjoy. So really, in a sense, I'm gentrifying music for everyone here. And I hope that they can appreciate that. What we just heard was Sophie MSM off Sophie's compilation album from this year. Sophie, one of the leading artists on another gentrifying label, PC Music, of course, out of London's underground electronic music scene. Lots of interesting things to be said about that. Sophie, for a while, I had discounted as less interesting than other people in that particular group. But this compilation album, released this year, actually really dug into me, and it was with tracks that many people have dismissed, having too many familiar elements like what we just heard, elements of noise, elements of trap style production, hi-hats, etc. But I actually think there's a lot of emotive punch in Sophie's music that redeems it a bit beyond just being hyper-parodic and absurd. Before that, we heard Street Freak from James Ferraro. James Ferraro toured with Wenotrix Point Never this year, and before James Ferraro, we heard Wenotrix Point Never's I Bite Through It. Excellent show at the Vogue with the two of them. Some hysterical performance from Wenotrix with incredible voice modulation. One of the most out there shows I've seen this year. And James Ferraro sort of an artist between New York and L.A. Skid Row, his new album from this year, is sort of a portrait of, and you'll hear about this a lot from many critical circles, but it is that sort of look at L.A. as emblematic of American ideals, or this sort of platonic American city with this strange disjunction between image and what lies beneath the image. So it's a very, very Baudrillard, you know, very Baudrillardian. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, I guess.
In a sense. Just the idea of the simulation being something that is more present and more real than whatever it is simulating. And before that, we heard Jalen's Black Diamond off the album Dark Energy. And we're going to play. And that music, if you follow the same, you know, I've always thought Cue It Up was a rather strange show because it falls very shortly after Pop Drones, which is a show I aspire for Cue It Up to be as good as Pop Drones. And for people who are caught into those currents, the music I've just played, and of course I've played it throughout the year as well, but you know, it's probably things you've heard before. And for what music will be remaining in this episode will be derived from things I liked a lot, but that maybe didn't get, and you know, not necessarily my favorites, but things that I would like to bring to light from this year. But before that, Alex, let's look at 2015 through the purview of Star Wars, and we can talk about all the things that happened in 2015, the rage, the entitlement, the mass movements. But if we can use Star Wars as the predominant metaphor, then I would really appreciate that. And we're going to start on my cue.
Get those nerds!
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 Okay, now go.
Now go. Talk about the year 2015. How did 2015 start? What was the defining moment in January?
When 2014 ended.
Okay, you got me there.
Yeah.
You, okay. Well, I mean, can we turn that into Star Wars? When the new movies ended? No.
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 That was a decisive no. So why not?
Well, because the new movies didn't deal with the same time period or whatever, right? I mean, the new trilogy ends right before the original three movies.
You know what's fascinating about the new Star Wars?
What's
how it's this? You want to know what's really like the central thing? Yeah, to be thinking about.
Tell me, what is up
does,
with this? New
how
Star
does
Wars?
Engine of capital accumulation has so much to do? And you know, so that there is a new Star Wars sort of signals the fact that there needed to be, because like, you know, because there is again this reiterative conflict. That none of the solutions in the original trilogy actually had any lasting impact. They didn't do anything. Like, it was just all Band-Aid fixes. And it sort of ties into, like Eastern spiritual ontologies, which revolve around the idea of, like, never-ending cycles and circular systems. And then we arrive again at how, like, that is the perfect model of capital accumulation, where we can have an infinite series of trilogies, each ending with the defeat of the evil force, only for a new trilogy to arise with some cameos from the last one, ad infinitum.
Absolutely. You had the conflict between the Empire and the Rebels, right? Famously. And then they decided
famously.
To go. They decided
you
to go
can,
back.
You can see it. If you go to Planet Hollywood, you can see it there. They have murals.
It's true. You can go back, right? And then there's, what was before that? There was the robots, right? The droids?
It was against the Trade Federation.
Right,
and
who became
the
Separatists and the Republic, right?
Yes.
And then we find out in the new movie that there's the Republic is back.
Yes.
And that's great. But they're not called the Republic. They've got a fighting force that's called the Resistance. Right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's different from the Rebellion.
It's a bit of a covert war. It's a bit like when a certain, and I will not politicize this too much by naming these nations, but it's like when certain nations send assassins to go kill some nuclear researchers. You know, that's basically what the Resistance is.
Right.
Except in this case, I guess you could say it's entirely warranted. For the, you know, alternative, I will not express my opinions on that.
Well, okay, so then we've got the Resistance, and instead of the Empire now, we've got the First Order.
So they're really pushing the Crusader sort of neo-Nazi angle here.
Absolutely. Which, I mean, we can see by the scenes in the trailer. Even, I mean, I don't want to spoil this for you who are listening who have not seen the movie. Not that, you know, people probably care.
This is a very considerate program.
It is. We care about you. So there's the scene in the trailer where you can clearly see, you know, they're sitting around in a kind of frozen wasteland. All the officers are dressed in black. All the soldiers are dressed in white. There's red banners. It's pretty clearly a Reich kind of system going on here. And it's interesting to me that we've got to always have
this kind of
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's interesting to me that we've always got this binary between these two groups, right? Because I mean, one of them is objectively good always, which I'm not sure I agree with, and then the other one is always bad. And the only difference between the two, as far as I can tell, is that the good guys have different colored clothing.
Alex, the truth is that evil exists within ourselves, and that when we project it into the other, we are merely finding a scapegoat for that which can only be destroyed within ourselves.
Wow.
I read that on the wall of the washroom.
Did
while
you?
I was coming over here.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
But yeah, no, lots of binary. And people may claim that this is revisionist, but if you watch the original movies, this new one pushes that binary, uses imagery of light and whiteness to a degree that was never emphasized in the original movies, in which, like, the whole idea of there being this, you know, binary, there was the fall in a sort of, like, biblical sense that you could undergo. But there wasn't, you know, it wasn't presented so much as a two-way street, you know. It was just you could fall from grace, which was it.
But do you think they've added a second way on that street? I don't think so.
Absolutely, because they, you know what, this is the point at which the satire of us talking about Star Wars has superseded and become us actually talking about Star Wars. So we're gonna finish the show with some music. Here's a track from Rezit off Goodness. Rezit, I think, producer in London, has been doing quite a few things throughout this year, or throughout the years, rather. Goodness, I enjoyed quite a bit. We're going to listen to the song Twista, and after that we're going to listen to, let's listen to Black Zone Myth Chant, and that is from the mysterious French artist High Wolf. We're going to listen to something off Main Thistle Fares. Again, you are listening to a very immediate, in the moment, faster and more intense version of Cue It Up.
An awakened version.
Thank you for joining us today, Alex. We are now going to conclude this episode. Next week I will return. It will be good. Things will have been resolved at last. It'll be a conclusion with a definite end. Yes. Here we go. Enjoy. Pump, 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 pump
Thank you.